it's amazing to spend some time together. And this morning, before we get to the testimonies, there's a few people that's going to share with us before we get to the most important part, and that is, Rose, your morning. And whosoever wants to decide on the last minute to do so as well, we will gladly take you underwater as well. So please be ready for that. So this morning I want to just lay some foundations before testimonies are shared. Let's just bow our heads before we do so. Father, this is a glorious moment, and Father, I can just imagine that for the Queen there would be a parade, and it would be amazing. There will be guards and all the supporters and loyal servants around her, Father God. And yet this morning there's a royal festivity, Father God, for what is happening here. Father, all heavens come to a standstill when beautiful things like this happen in your kingdom. And this morning we celebrate with you. Father, we know that if heavens can celebrate, then we can even more so here on earth. And Father, this morning we pray that you will be here among us, that you will speak to each one of us, and that you will this morning encounter with us, come and speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I remember, you know, I had the opportunity, and I want to just quickly explain to you what baptism is all about. I remember when I was about 12 years old, I came to the conclusion that, you know, serving Christ is precious. And I've counted the cost, and I'll be speaking about that just now. What it means to follow Him. Only being 12 years old, I remember, you know, not even having a full understanding of what it meant, but went to the baptism, and at that moment, it was so special when the people in the church prayed over me. I remember receiving the calling upon my life that day. It was such a beautiful moment where God clearly spoke to me and said to me, "This is what I want for your life." At that stage, my mom always, you know, said that, you know, I was little Samuel. She prayed for me to be in the ministry, and I know for my sister as well. So she's blessed as well. she's a really praying mom. And I remember that day when other people started to prophesy that over my life and said, "You will be in the ministry one day. You will do God's work, and you will be in the full-time capacity." It was such a moment of consecration and a moment of special encounter with God that I remember till this day. I can remember as if it is so close to me. And what we do when we get through the baptism is we don't just recognize Jesus as a friend, as a savior, as the one that, you know, died for us on the cross to make it possible for us to come closer to God, but also a king. And so it's beautiful that we actually do it on a day such as this, where the Queen is having her birthday. I guess, yeah, in the United Kingdom, we at least have a reference about kingdom and about a queen, royalty. But Jesus came in the perfect time of history. You know, if you think about it, and I've mentioned it before, but you know, Jesus could have, you know, come in this age where there's social media, there's marketing, there's internet, there's live streaming. So you know, Jesus could have expanded his ministry quite rapidly, you know, in this time. Everyone would hear like Donald Trump tweeting every morning, you know. Jesus could just do a tweet and the whole world will, you know, listen to his story and hear every miracle that is happening. And yet he chose to come at a time where there was Roman occupation over Israel. A time when the kingdoms was busy colliding. And people had a reference about kingdom principles. A time when, you know, even Israel was subdued to a kingdom beyond themselves, where they could not rule themselves but had to bow their knee to a greater military power at the time. But that gave them a reference to the teachings of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand, and it's now. It's happening right now. And Jesus could talk about, you know, a king that is ruling in this kingdom, and you must make a choice to bow your knee and become a servant to this king. And what I see in the times that we are living, that it's actually so hard to count the cost in serving such a king. Because when you start to serve a king, it means that you give up all your rights to fulfill the wishes of that king. Now, luckily, the queen is not, dictating these days a lot of things. But what I can tell you, in those times, if the king said anything to be done, things surely had to be done. And so when we are dealing with a kingdom, it means that, in the society that we are living today, I see that lots of people recognize Jesus, and they recognize even it to be the truth. But it is so hard to count the cost in what it's going to cost you to follow Jesus. And this is exactly the same in the time of the disciples when Jesus said, listen, leave everything behind and follow me. Because for those fishermen, it really cost them. It meant that they had to give up everything and to follow Jesus. So in this kingdom, there's a decision that we need to make in counting the cost. But I can also tell you, you can only do it by His strength. Because we've seen through the ages how the church, you know, wanted to get people's actions and works to work together for the kingdom, and people doing stuff for the kingdom, and yet it's also empty if it's not through faith in a relationship with Christ, a place where we know the King as a friend, as not just a king but a person that transforms our lives. Because you're going to count the cost till you blue in the face and try to be a better person, but you will never be able to be good if the king does not live inside of you. And if faith is not exercised into a place where you can start to fulfill the promises that he has for your life. And that is a relationship. That is a journey that each one of us must follow. So Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So people would say, listen, it's so difficult because, you know, if I look at Christianity and I look at, you know, the Word of God, there's so many principles that I cannot adhere to. There's so many things that, you know, is so difficult for me to commit myself to. And yet, Jesus says, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Coming out of a place where Jesus is the King of the kingdom. So water baptism is the first step of obedience toward this King. After being born again, it represents a lifetime of radical obedience to this King. And this is what we're doing today. Yes, it's not a perfect life and rose. It's not going to be perfect from the start. But the more we journey with Christ, you know, the more we get to love him so much that we don't do whatever he's asking us to do because we must, but because we love him so much that we don't want to disappoint him. And the amazing thing is, that journey with Christ is not alone. He allows us to journey with him, to experience the blessing of a lifetime with us. Acts 2, verse 37 to 38. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the first natural step into the kingdom for the New Testament church was not to wait even for months. And sometimes, you know, we see this happening in churches today and in traditional setting especially, that we get to have a long time since making a commitment of salvation to Christ and coming to baptism. And yet in those days, the immediate first step after giving your heart to Christ would be, and stepping out in faith and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior, would be to go to the baptism. And that first step represented a life of commitment and radical living in Christ. And so I said to Rose on, was it Thursday? Monday. Monday, it's a long time ago. I said to Rose, she must write down all of her sins because we're going to keep her under the water as long as how long that list is. Okay, we'll keep her under and then we'll see if she survives, and that will be a sign of how amazing this baptism would be today. So did you get the list? Is it? And, you know, she's so sweet. Rose immediately said, yes, no, I'll do it. Rose, no, you don't need to do that. That's not what the baptism is about. But yes, it is a commitment from our side to say that we are actually burying ourselves with Christ and our sinful nature. And we say, God, we cannot do it ourselves. Actually, in our best efforts, we will not be able to become Christians. And so I think that many of us sometimes, you know, represent Christ wrong because we want to portray to the world that we are perfect and that we have everything together. And yet, this journey with Christ, I can tell you, is a daily commitment to follow Him. And I can tell you that I don't get it right. I every day come to Christ and I say, I've missed you yesterday. I've missed you in so many things. But I can't do this without you. I need you to transform me and to make changes in my life. So we come to a place where baptism is the sign or the sacrament of accepting Jesus as Christ, as the Lord and Savior of our lives. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And these two, I would say, most common or most important sacraments that we have in the church, and that is the one of baptism, and the other one is that of communion. And, you know, that commitment to baptism brings us to a place where we actually portray to the world, and we see this in the New Testament church, whatever we feel inside, we portray to the world through a outward experience. And so we show to the world, listen, because we've made the choice to follow Christ, and I want to make it clear this morning, baptism is not an act of salvation. Okay? That does not mean that you are going to be in heaven one day. But it's the first natural step after giving your heart to Christ to say that I'm going to die to self and follow Christ and Christ alone. And so the important thing about sacrament or a sign of faith is that it does not reveal any inward reality. If it does not reveal an inward reality, it is useless and the sacrament has no meaning. And so there's people, especially four main people that I want to just mention that preached about baptism in the New Testament. The first one was John the Baptist, and we read about that in Matthew 3, verse 1 to 6, even verse 10 to 12. But there we read about John being the one that prepared the way for Christ to come. So still being in the Old Covenant, you know, John brought us to a place where he said, listen, I'm a Levite. And John was a part of the Levite family, which meant that only the Levites could be priests. And through the ages, those priests will offer on behalf of the people toward God. And so John was also part of that lineage. And what is so beautiful is his act of commitment to say that I'm going to prepare the way for the coming king. And so the baptism that John brought was the one of repentance, the one of Israel, as the Levites, the priests, washed themselves and cleansed them before going into the most holy place, entering into a place of commitment and communion with God. So today, we wash ourselves and we prepare ourselves and we put our sins away so that we prepare the way for the King of Kings to enter into our lives. The other one is Jesus himself, which was baptized, but was also committed in Mark 16, verse 16, to say, go and baptize other people. And we've read it in Matthew 28:19 as well. So Jesus not just went into baptism, but he also preached baptism. And he said, listen, make sure that when you get saved, that you make that commitment very quickly to follow me and to die to your old self. And I just want to make it clear, Jesus never baptized anyone on earth by water. Although he asked his disciples to baptize people in water, he himself never baptized people. Because Jesus baptized people with the Spirit. And then we also know about Peter in Acts 1 verse 5, verse 8, verse 22. There's many scriptures, but I don't want to go into them now. Peter saw the vision that it must also be preached to the Gentiles. This grace and this revelation must go beyond the Jews to people that is not Jews, to include them into the commitment to go into eternity. And then Paul, Acts 13 verse 46 to 48, also extended it to the Gentiles and committed himself to say, listen, get baptized. Make sure that you commit to the act of laying down your life. And so, faith in Jesus always precedes water baptism. Acts 2 verse 41. So those who received this word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Matthew 28:19 again. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptism is an outward proclamation of an inward conversion. And so we have many times, you know, physical things that we do as a step of obedience to remind ourselves and people around us to the commitments that we are making inwardly. I remember last year, you know, walking around the corner here, the YMCA. And at that stage, you know, we were really trusting God for financial breakthrough, even for the, you know, for the church. And I picked up a little 5 euros, or was it 10 euro cents coin. As I picked it up, God said, this is your sign that I will provide for this house. This house will not be empty. This house will have provision over it. And ever since, God has provided for this house every month since then. And I can tell you, signs like that build our faith, and it allows us to walk into the promises that God has for our lives. So this morning, this is a sign for you. And you'll remember that this day, Rose. I remember that day. I was in a swimming pool there in South Africa, and it was amazing. You know, just the setting. I can even remember the people that stood next to the pool. You will remember this day. It's a sign toward what God is doing. So, there's 3 things that it symbolizes. The dying with Christ. So, when we go, you know, I'm being on missions, I remember we always, you know, saw, especially in Africa, you would see that they would actually call it a funeral. They would say that there's a funeral going on, and when you get there, it's a baptism busy taking place, because they would literally say to themselves that they are busy, you know, taking somebody down in their old self to dying and being resurrected again to fulfill a life in Christ. So what we are doing here today is dying with Christ, the burial with Christ, and then the resurrection with Christ. And so we know that Israel was such a picture toward us in God's relationship with His people. So first of all, being in Egypt, it meant that they were under slavery. They were desperately seeking after God and saying, God, please come and get us out of Egypt and release us from this captivity. And so they would go from that place. God would take them out of Egypt. They would get to the Red Sea, which was the waters. And in the Red Sea, their enemies were drowned, the past, so that they could get to the other side. And being resurrected, getting out on the other side into the new journey that God has in store for Israel. The baptism is the same for us. It means that our commitment to step out is a start of a journey to the promised land. This is not it. This is just the start. But it's so amazing because it's the promise that, God, you have dealt with my past and you've dealt with the things that is hindering me to fulfill your promises for my life. And I walk into those promises. Let's listen to Romans 6, verse 1 to 6. And those who are going to testify can quickly come to the front as I read that. I know Mel, is Mel available as well? Renee, you guys. Romans 6, verse 1 to 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin and grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who die to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Wonderful. Any questions? Jackie's laughing. Jackie, do you have questions? So, baptism is important because of a few things. Jesus commanded it. We see this as a pattern in the early church. We connect the conversion of our lives in salvation to the baptism and our first step of obedience toward what Christ wants for our lives. And therefore, if the King of this kingdom is expecting us to be baptized, we say yes and amen. Not because He's a commander, but because He loves us enough and He knows what's best for our lives. And so we walk into the promise that God has for our lives. Quickly, Ranir, can you start? Or is Mel already ready? Oh, let's start with Mel, sorry, because she must run back to the little one.
Very loud child. My baptism is always very, very special to me. It's really good memories because, for those of you who don't know, so my husband and I, we did not have it easy in the beginning of our relationship because my father was very, very against it because it's, a mixed race relationship. And so my dad had threatened to disown me and wanted to cut me off financially. I was in university at the time. And so it was like, okay, I was going through like, okay, I'm going to be homeless on the street. Wonderful. At least I'll have a boyfriend. So it was a bit rough. At the time, the church was just amazing, the most incredible support, and actually, I don't know where I would have been without the church's support. And I was in Heinrich, who was the pastor of Pretoria at that time. I was in his office every week crying because I'd just seen my dad and it was, went awfully and everything. Anyway, and so, but then it came time for me to be baptized after I had done Encounter 1, which was F1 at that time, and I wanted to get baptized. And so I invited my dad, well, my parents, to the baptism. And I was like, look, Sifiso is going to be there because he's leading worship in Afrikaans that day. And I was like, so he is going to be there, but I would love you guys to come. And they very begrudgingly said yes because I had been baptized before when I was a kid. And they were like, you don't need to be baptized. It's happened already. Why do you need? Anyway, so but they came to the baptism. They came to the church service before the baptism as well. It was just so incredible because after the service we had the baptism and it was the middle of winter outside in a swimming pool. My dad, who, you know, sort of sat looking a bit cross at the whole service, and afterwards he, because when people gathered around to pray for me afterwards, he put his hand out, he like joined the circle and put his hand out and put his hand on me and prayed for me as well. And that was just so incredible that he sort of like accepted it by that stage, at least the baptism. And he prayed over me and my mom prayed over me and that was so amazing. And then after the baptism, they said, because we were going to go out for lunch afterwards because they lived in a different city and they had come driven through for the baptism. So we were going to go out for lunch and they were like, my dad said, you can tell Sophie so he can come too. And I was like, okay. because everyone in the church had been praying for my dad's heart to change and for our relationship and everything. And so everyone was like, Sophie's dad's invited Sophie. I mean, Melly's dad's invited Sophie. Sophie's going to. And so everyone was like, we're praying, we're going to pray. And I was like, okay, thanks. And so we went for lunch and it was just incredible because we like had lunch and talked and laughed like a normal family. Like there was nothing different about us. And I was like, amazing breakthrough. And then I got home and my dad was like, this changes nothing. But actually it was the start of it changed everything because from that day, little by little by little, and it still took another year or so, but little by little, my dad's heart just started to change and he was like, Sifiso can come over for lunch one day. Sifiso can, and then he invited Sifiso to play golf with him. And I mean, you know, you invite a guy to play golf with you, everything's changed. Anyway, sorry. Oh, no, Sifiso was the caddy. But to my dad, that is huge. To just allow him on the golf course with him was huge. So he wasn't playing golf. Yeah. I know. But yeah, it was an amazing start. Just the fact that he... the fact that he invited Sifiso to do something with him without me being there was huge because he would barely be able to be in the same room, you know, without me there. And then when it came time to when Sifiso was going to ask my dad's permission to marry me, my dad stopped him before he even got the question out and said, I already know what you're going to ask. And the answer is yes. And so what we thought would take years and years and years and years and years and probably wouldn't be there at the wedding and everything changed, was completely different to how we ever thought. God was just so faithful. And it really all started at the baptism when my dad said yes to coming. And then, yeah. So my baptism was really, really special to me because of the seeds that it planted in my dad's heart. And I think him praying over me at the baptism just softened his heart towards for the lunch afterwards, etc., etc. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm not going to use the mic because I hold it like an ice cream gold.
I was baptized.
Okay, so I was baptized in 2015. Gave my heart to Christ in April 2015 and was baptized September 2015. And at that point, I knew that it was a holy sacrament, as Agnes mentioned of God, but I didn't really understand the significance of it. I've heard the scripture before that you are buried with Christ and you're raised again with Christ. But yeah, so the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, yeah. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is in Christ, God, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting us to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God, making appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he has made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And the righteousness, that term righteousness, we are not righteous on our own at all. But we have this privilege through knowing Christ that the righteousness in which he stands with God, that it can be accounted to us. So for us as Christians, we want to be like Christ. So in another scripture ties in Philippians 3, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And it's like becoming like Christ in his death. I didn't even use the stuff I wrote down. I'm thinking every time I see someone baptized, it calls me back to introspection, into like looking into my soul, what does baptism mean for me? And every time someone new gets baptized, it just multiplies my gratefulness for it. So even John, when he saw Jesus coming, as Achilles mentioned, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming towards him, he didn't say, look, here's a baptism going to happen or anything. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These sacraments of God, the communion and the baptism, it all points to Christ. The communion, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine points to Christ and his body and his blood that was shed for us. And the baptism as well points to his death, but his glorious resurrection. So, it calls for every time, same with like Rose, it's I rejoice so greatly of this. And as the scripture said, that I may know him. So Rose, you already got to know Christ now. And that you may know the power of his resurrection through this baptism. So, as I said, you just rely on the righteousness of God, and it's a privilege to become like Christ, to be like him in his death. Right here. That's just that. So for me, that is my, there's nothing like huge. I didn't see angels when I didn't hear angels, angel choirs when I came up, or a dove didn't descend on me or anything. But the result of it was, I can't explain it to, I can't show somebody, here it is, it's, I can only tell them. So yeah, that's the glory of baptism.
Hello. so my baptism is easy to remember because it was 3 years ago today, which is... I will only take 1 minute. I'm not Lara. Joking, Lara, love you. And it was just so great. It was a big celebration, and yeah, I was surprised at how many people wanted to celebrate with me, Rose. And I think, like, you should just look around because everyone's here for you this morning, and everyone is so excited for you. And yeah, I think it's so special that before I knew Christ, he knew on this day 3 years ago I was going to do this, and he even knew that I would meet you and our lines would cross and we would be on the same course and you'd end up being my housemate, and now you're here and I'm going to drop you in the pool and like it could go wrong, but it's okay because Christ knows too. But yeah, my baptism was an amazing day. I'll remember it forever. And like Kylie said, I won't forget the people around the pool. And I'm so blessed that some of those people are still in my life today. And yeah, just enjoy it because these people are going to be around and they love you a lot. And you should really enjoy today. It's very special.
Thank you, Jackie. You kept to your 1 minute. I'm surprised, but Laura, she lies. She's worse than you. Okay. Can you jump? Are you going to jump head first? Or no, you can come to the front rows. You and Jackie. Jackie, there's no ladder, so you will have to get in the back. Come from the back. Yeah, I think there's a little step at least. Will you be all right? Yeah, the kids want to see as well. This is beautiful. So, Rose, by your confession of your sins and your receiving of Christ as your Lord and Savior, today we are as witnesses here today, and you can remind yourself in days to come, years to come, about this moment where there was many people with cameras even. look at them, the the cell phone generation. They are here, they're not just witnessing for themselves, they're taking this beyond to say that they've seen what God has done in your life. And we recognize that you've entered into eternity. Today we have a funeral of the old Rose, but we're so excited about what God is going to do in and through your life. Amen. Amen. Let me just pray for her before. Yeah, Jackie is very keen, man. Jackie practiced this one of senselessly. Yes, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and this is so beautiful. What is represented here today is a life of obedience toward you, and Father God, more exciting even, the journey that you're going to walk with Rose, and today you speak over her life. This is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. I'm excited about her life. I was excited all along. And today, God just come and he visits you and he speaks right into your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we come to you this day. A beautiful day, Father, that we will remember. And we ask you for your Holy Spirit to come and live in and through Rose's life, that she will glorify you. We've been made, Father God, by you to glorify you here on earth. And Father, today we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and empower her to live that life of fullness and life in abundance in the name of Jesus. We ask for all the beautiful gifts that you have in store for her, to come into her life, and that she will be able to operate in those gifts. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Woohoo! This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Rose. Thank you that you are rejoicing. Thank you that you are dancing with the angels, Lord. Thank you that we can celebrate Rose today. Thank you that we can say, Lord, you're a good father to Rose. Thank you that you're going to show her and taking her on a new journey, Father God, a new season, Father God, of living the life that you planned for her long ago, Father God. Thank you that Hercules said that you're always with her and that you were with her. And this is just symbolic today of a new start, Lord God, of a fresh start, Father God, of saying, Lord, this is my life. I give it to you. I surrender it to you, Lord. I want to be thankful today, Lord God, for Rose
And I say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, wonderful day, the 9th of June, 2019. We celebrate this day with her in Jesus' name.
I'm going to read from Matthew 18, verse 12, and it says, what do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave 99 on the hills and go and look for that one that wandered off? And yeah, Father God, we just thank you so much that you have brought Rose into our lives, Father God. And we just thank you that, yeah, as significant as this day is, Father God, thank you so much for the journey that is going to lie ahead, Father God. And we are so excited that, yeah, that what you could do in her life now, Father God. And I just thank you that she learns, Father God, and she looks eagerly, Father God. But Father God, thank you that we could just, yeah, we can thank you for bringing her to us, Father God. And just, yeah. Rose, welcome to the family.
Yeah, Father, we thank and glorify you, and thank you that it's like sort of a crossroads where her life was leading to death and emptiness, and now it's leading to life and life in abundance. Like today is that shift in the right direction, in the path that you have planned for her life, Lord, in the way that you are making for her, to make her feet steady, to make her path straight. Lord, and I just want to pray over her, like the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name. And I pray over her restoration in Jesus Christ's name, that everything that has been stolen or eaten by the locusts or anything like that, that you will restore onto her that which has always been your purpose for her in Jesus Christ's name.
Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the calling that you have over her life, Father. I want to thank you, God, that each and everything, Lord, that you have set out for her, Father, that you have committed now, Father, to do it with her, Lord God. All the desires that are in our heart, Father, I thank you, God, that you have committed to see them come to fruition with her, Lord God. I want to thank you, Father, for your commitment to her. Rose, I want to say to you that the Lord is so committed to you. He is so in love with you, and he is dancing over you. And I thank you, Father, that this morning we can rejoice with the angels that are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, praising the God who you've given your life to. I want to thank you, Lord, just for the provision that you have made for her, Father, the abundance that you have given her, Father. I want to thank you, Father, for the influence that you are increasing, Lord. I want to thank you, Father God, that just even in her natural skills, Father God, her work at the hospitals, Father, I want to thank you for the favor over her career, Father God, favor over her work as she's healing people and helping heal people, helping heal children, helping to better the world and better the people in the world in their physical bodies. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you continue to guide her hands, guide her mind, guide her wisdom and her heart, Father God. Guide her intellect in making those decisions when she needs to make them. I want to thank you, Lord, that as she's risen with you, Lord Jesus, that you are increasing the power and the gift. Someone prayed it earlier, that you're increasing the power and the gifts that you have given her, Father. We thank you, God, that we can stand as part of her family, part of the witnesses, to walk a road with her as well, to commit to her, to helping her come to see those gifts also flourish, Lord God. We say, Father, that we are here as witnesses and we are here as her brothers and sisters, Lord, that Rose has got a family now and that she's not alone, God. That as she goes through hardships, as she goes through troubles, Father God, you will give us the strength and the capacity to come alongside her and pick her up as Aaron and the guys did for Moses, Lord. I want to pray, Father, that Rose will know that she knows that she knows that as long as she has her natural family, as she has a natural family, she has a spiritual family as well. And that, Father, in this house, Father God, she will be a part of a house that praises the Lord God. That we will praise the Lord with her, Father, until the day that you come, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us such an incredible gift, Father God, in Rose, Father, that you've given us such an amazing woman in her, Father God. We thank you, Father, that we will learn from her as well, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I know I already had my chance, but I just, Rose, while they were praying for you, I just saw this picture, like a celebrity that's on a red carpet. I will still pray about it, but I just really see you walking down this red carpet, and you are actually waving like this, and it's just flashes, and you know, and as you are walking, this is just light coming in. And I just believe, I will still pray about it and come back to you, but I just believe that you're a light bringer, and not only with who you are and what you are, but with Christ in you. And I just know that you are going to set the path for many. Yeah? Amen.
Yeah, I just want to agree with that. I just felt, you know, like a Pocahontas to build bridges between communities. I think somebody else prayed here about reconciliation. Yeah, yeah. You will have the ability to restore and to build, to bring reconciliation between people, and even people from the world and people that knows Christ. Mm. You know, that bridge to. To not condemn people, but to let them experience the love of God. Yes. I believe that's the anointing that God wants to put on your life. Amen.
This ties in with the word that Sivisa gave this morning about God being a warrior, a God of war, fighting on our behalf. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Thank you, Father God, that you sing over Rose, Lord, that you rejoice over her, Lord, and that you quiet her with your love. And in the times, Father God, that she feels like she is too tired or she can't fight a certain battle or whatever it is, Lord, thank you, Father God, that you fight for her, Lord. You are a mighty warrior on a huge horse fighting for her, Lord, just riding into battle for her. And I thank you, Father God, that you dance over her, that you sing over her, that your banner over her is love, Father God, that you quiet her with your love, Father. So I thank you, Father God, that, yeah, Lord, that it's not a thing like she must be quiet, Lord, but thank you, Father, that in the turmoil or whenever life gets hard and she wants to just scream, thank you, Father God, that you quiet that scream in her, Lord, with peace and with love, and that she will feel a tremendous sense of your peace over her, Father God, in the hard times. And I thank you, Lord, that you dance and sing over her in the good times and the bad times, in all of the times, that you are always, always with her, in Jesus' name.
Father, I just want to pray, thank you for the amazing blessing that Rose is in our lives, Lord. Father, I want to pray for an amazing revelation of your love for her and who she is in you, Lord, that she will draw her identity, her confidence from you, Lord, that you will guide her every step from this day forth and bless her way, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Rose, when everyone was praying, I just felt like God wanted to say to you that now, this new life, the first thing he wants to put on you is love, and he wants you to know how amazing you are. And when you went into the water, with it went all your doubts, and the anything that wasn't good and of him is gone too, and you really need to walk in the love he has for you, and you really need to know that, yeah, he's put you on this earth to bless many, many people, and there's no more walking in the shadows. You walk in his light now, and you're going to walk in that confidence. Because you are a blessing and he loves you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Rose. Let's give her a hand. Yo. So.